Blog Talk Radio.
His goodness. His goodness. when I think about the goodness of God, from where he brought us to where we're at now, I can help but to say thank you for all of your goodness. We come today, Heavenly Father, with thanksgiving in our heart. Your word says that in everything, give thanks, for this is your will. And we come, Father God, with thanksgiving for your word, first of all, first and foremost, because it's your word, Father God, who have given us light. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Father God, that your word have declared and decreed who we are in Christ. The word says that we are created in Christ Jesus, so that when Jesus arose from the dead, the works of the new creation was consummated in Christ. So we thank you for it. We thank you, Father God, because it became a reality in us. And we can see it because our eyes are open. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that by your stripes we are healed. Mentally, physically, economically, socially, and most of all, we're healed eternally. So we thank you for it. We praise you for it. We give you the honor and the glory. We pray for those that are on the road, especially Pastor and her family. We pray that they have a successful trip. And we also pray, Father God, that you will continue to strengthen her and her ministry, the things that she's doing for the body of Christ. And we ask these and all blessings in Christ's name, and for his sake we pray. Everybody agreed with the prayer. I said, amen and amen. Thank you so much. I need to do something here for one moment. So how about we just hear just a little bit more? How much we got to work? I will say of the goodness of God, thank you all so much for being patiently waiting. I do appreciate that. And we're going to go ahead and get into this week's lesson. Got a lot of things to talk about. We're going to still use the same foundational scripture that's found in 2 Corinthians 4, that says, if our gospel be hidden, it's hidden to them that are lost, and the God of this world have blinded their minds, unless the glorious gospel shine through. And we're going to ask, we're going to pretty much just lay out what we're going to be talking about this week. Let me say that, because we still talk about Satan and his angels. Maybe I should entitle this as part two. And that would be great. Even though God also put in my spirit blind to God's truth. That may be the subject this week. But it's important that you be not conformed to this world. Because if you are, if you're conformed to this world, then you're conformed to the things of Satan. So we want to just hit on that a little bit this week. Not whatever the spirits say. I read an article. To be blind is sightless. To be sightless, had read something that having a lesser than 10 or 1/10 of a normal vision in the more effective eye, when if it's been defected, it can be corrected. But there's some blindness that cannot be corrected. And the Bible is saying here that if the glorious gospel is shined through, that blindness can be corrected.
And if not, you're going to be unable to see truth. You're going to be unable to discern what God is saying in such a time as this. So it's important that we be not conformed to this world, because if you're conformed to this world, you will remain sightless. You will remain stone blind. And you will remain blind. It just like if you had a blindfold on, you won't see it. So it's important that the glorious gospel shine through. Because blind, and I'm not talking about anybody blind, so I don't want anybody to think like that. Because blindness is part of that old life, the old creation. We're part of the new creation. We're part of the light, okay? Our vision is made clear. We can see. We have clear eyes. See, that's what the Word of God does for you. It gives you clear eyes, a clear sight, you know. Your sight is sharp. You can see stuff like you never saw before. But there are other words that kind of identify with blindness. It's impaired. Your vision become impaired. You know, it's almost like you're under the influence of something. I'm just thinking about blindness. So he says, if our gospel, I'm going to ask, let's see here who we got. Okay, well, praise God. I'm going to ask Evangelist William if she'll read that out of King James Version. I don't know if you have the Messenger Bible today.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, you can read it out of the Messenger Bible, and I'll read it. But this will be our foundational scripture as we going forward. And we're going to pick up some of the things that we talked about as well. But over in 2 Corinthians 4, and we haven't really got into it yet, but I wanted to kind of unfold that a little bit. It says, but, and anytime you see the word but, pay attention, because you're getting ready to get some knowledge now. You're getting ready to get some revelation when you see that word but. Forget about what I've said in the past. Pay attention now. It's important that you pay attention or you're going to remain blind. So he says in the third verse, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine through. Blind of the truth. And that may be the subject, or at least we're going to talk about part two of Satan and his angel. So if you have that, read that for me. Thank you very much.
And that was 2 Corinthians 4, what verse?
3 and 4.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. If our message is obscure to anyone, it's not because we're holding back in any way. No, it's because these other people are looking for or going the wrong way and refuse to give it serious attention. All they have eyes for is the fashionable God of darkness. They think he can give them what they want, and that they won't have to bother believing a truth they can't see. They stand blind to the dayspring brightness of the message that shines with Christ, who gives us the best picture of God we'll ever get. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Okay, praise the Lord. See, Pastor, she made herself available. Praise God. Okay, hallelujah. Thank you so much, Evangelist William. I appreciate that. Listen, brothers and sisters, blindness it's a thing, and believe me, when you're blind, this is something, you're influenced by other stuff. It's like you're being under the influence. It's like being drunk, because you're impaired. And when you're blind, you're almost like you're intoxicated. There's a lot that goes with blindness. But it's like you're not certain. You're kind of like confused, even though you have a, you may have a stick, and you know you could be overpowered by a lot, and it can be overwhelming to you, not knowing which way you're going. I hope this is making sense, because see, it's important that you know that you're not to stay blind.
Amen.
That's why in the beginning I said, when I had read that, it was saying that, you know, like having less than 1/10 of normal vision in the more effect eyes when you react, defeats are fully corrected by lenses. So you can have 10% or 1/10 of blindness, and it can be corrected. And most people, I look at it as being like 10% of blindness. And the reason for that, they're unable or unwilling to discern better judgment. That's just 10% of your blind. That can be corrected. That can be corrected. Well, preacher, how you say that? Well, last time I checked, in James 1:22, I believe, I'm going to ask Pastor if she'll read out the King James Version, see if she's available, since I got Evangelist William reading out of the Messenger Bible, because it wasn't for sure we were going to have you. So if you'll read that, James 1, do you have your King James Version, Pastor?
Yes, Pastor, I can read that. And good afternoon.
Good afternoon. That's St. James 1, verses 22. Well, read 20, 21, and 22.
Okay. Second here. James 1, 21 and 22. In the King James, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your life and humbly accept the word God has planted in your heart, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. Amen.
Amen.
So where do you read that from, Pastor?
Oh, you know what? I'm so sorry. That's from the New Living Translation.
That's okay. That's all right. Go ahead, Evangelist William.
Yes, James 1:21 and 22. So throw all four virtues and cancerous evil in the garbage in simple humility. Let our gardener God landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Amen, amen.
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 So he says, wherefore, my beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. This is how you get rid of that blindness. This is how you correct it. Now, I'm trying to tell you how to correct blindness.
Yeah.
The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Then the 22nd verse says, and be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. See, that's how you get rid of Satan's stuff. You put all that garbage to the side. That's how you get rid of that 10% of blindness I'm telling you about that most people have. So you'll get rid of stuff like going to church. You'll realize, hey, I am the church, according to 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. Well, we'll read that too. Because see, the stuff I'm telling you, you got to get rid of blindness. And then you got to start grabbing hold to truth. Because see, that's what the Bible going to teach us is how to be doers of the word. Because see, if any man be not a doer of the word, and he just a hearer of it, he going to be like a man of holding his natural face in the glass. He going to go away and forget who he is and what the word have declared that he is. He going to forget it, and he's still going to be blind. He's still going to be blind. So in order to be able to see clearly, this is how what you have to do. You have to go in there and lay apart all that filthiness, superfluity, knottedness, and receive. I like that word, receive, with meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save yourself. This to engraft something, like taking a plant from somewhere else and taking it and putting it in another base and watering it and nourishing it and let it grab a hold. That's how you engraft something. And you have to take this word and put it in you. So he said, be ye doers of the word. Not the preacher, not church, but do what the word say do. That's what it's about. That's how you get rid of blindness. Okay. The next scripture I asked you to read was what now?
1 Corinthians 6 and 19.
Thank you.
Okay. Reading from the King James. What? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Amen.
Yes, and from the Messenger Bible, 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, or didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to a spiritual part of you. Amen, amen.
Amen.
He's saying what? What you blind to this? What, you don't see it? See, when somebody says what, it means think about that by itself. That alone ought to tell you something, especially when it comes to blindness. Somebody said to you what? That requires an answer, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Yeah. You blind? You don't know that you are the body of Christ?
Yeah.
You know, there's an old saying, and when I think about this, it's like you're asking a question when you use this word, what? To me, that's what it is. It's asking a question. What? You don't know you blind? What? You don't know you're the body of Christ? See, because they're blind.
Amen.
So when I hear the word of God says what, he's expressing that obviously you're not getting it. You don't know it. You're asking a question. You don't know that you are the body of Christ. You don't know this. You don't know that the church... Don't go to church. The church be the church. What, you don't know this? See, when you don't know that, you're blind.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Amen.
It's asking a question here. And that was the question was answered. So that's going to be our foundational scriptures, especially as we get into this, I want to call it, because see, when the Bible talks about things like Satan, Beelzebub, the old serpent, what, you don't know this Satan and his angels? You don't know this stuff?
Amen.
You don't know he is the God of this world? What? You don't know that? You don't know he's the prince of the of this world? That's important. So you don't know what caused that storm out there. You don't know why these folks died out there. What? You don't know this stuff? That's what I'm trying to get across to you here. Like over in Ephesians 2 and 2. We'll read that. Ephesians 2 and verses. Yeah, chapter 2 and verse 2.
One moment, Pastor.
Yeah, Pastor, she gonna read it from the King James first.
Okay.
You on that, Pastor?
Hold on a second, Pastor. Let me get to that. You said Colossians?
No. Ephesians 2 and 2.
Okay. 1 second. Ephesians 2 and 2. Reading from the King James. Wherein, in times past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible, Ephesians 2 and 2. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You fill your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhale disobedience. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
See, the ruler of the kingdom of the air was understood by Paul readers, at least, to mean Satan. That's how they understood that. They believed that was Satan, the ruler of the people. Didn't just start paying attention. The believer that Satan and his evil spiritual forces inhabit the region between the earth and the sky. Satan is this picture as ruler and an evil spiritual kingdom. The kingdom and those who are against Christ. Satan means the accuser.
Man.
Yeah.
I said Satan means the accuser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is called the devil. Mm-hmm. How I know that? In Ephesians 4:27. See, you gotta know all these names. That's why I gave it to you all Sunday and maybe a little bit of Friday. It said you get to know this, and then you're gonna know this Satan and his kingdom. This is the kingdom that we're fighting against. That's why Jesus said, now, if this had been my kingdom, God would have sent angels here to protect me. He wouldn't have let them Jews get me and kill me if it was my. But this is not my kingdom, and neither is it yours. I don't care what's going on with you. It's not yours either, okay? It's not yours. It's not your home. It's not your kingdom. You're just a pilgrim traveling through. That's all you are.
Yeah. Amen.
Ephesians 4:27. Read that for me.
Okay. Neither give place to the devil. Amen.
Amen. Messenger Bible, Ephesians 4:27. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Amen.
So the Bible saying there is a devil. What? You don't know that? You didn't know that? You didn't know that he is the power of the air.
Amen.
See, in the resurrection, Christ was victorious over Satan and his power.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus Christ is the permanent ruler over the whole world. Satan is only temporary ruling. He's temporary ruling different parts. That's why in Christ, all things are possible. That's why he was able to rule over Satan during the storm.
Amen. Yeah.
And you are able to because you are in Christ.
Yeah.
Well, I just like this idea when God showed me the meaning of what?
Mm-hmm.
Romans 3:24. I'm just going to give y'all a few of these whats that God put in my spirit. Because I want you to understand this. And then we'll get to the other part of this this message. But in Romans 3:24, what is that? What
that say? All right. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Messenger Bible, Romans 3:24. God did it for us. Out of sheer generosity, he put us in right standing with himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be. And he did it by means of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen.
Amen.
What? You didn't know the judge said you're not guilty? You didn't know that? What?
Amen.
You didn't know you're free. Go. Bye-bye.
Yes.
God did it.
Yeah.
And while you're there, Roman, go to 8:1. I just want you to see. But God showed me what this word what means. We are justified. We've been declared not guilty of sin. You're not, as far as God is concerned. Now don't mm-hmm. deal with your neighbor or your church folk or because they're going to see you guilty because they're part of the prince of the air. They can only see the bad. They can't see the good. Now, remember, they are blind.
Yeah.
See, if they don't understand the enlightenment that's in the scripture, they're blind. Just go ahead on and get it settled in your spirit. They're blind. Don't expect. Stevie Wonder to see what you see. That's so unfair. That's wrong for you to do that, Pastor. You look at that red ball and you ask Stevie Wonder, what color is that? That's so unfair.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
What? These folk ain't see? Why do you expect that from them? But in Romans 8:1, read that for me, please.
Okay. Oh, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus' flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen.
Amen. A Messenger Bible, Romans 8:1. With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that faithful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ, being here for us, no longer have to live under the under a continuous low-lying black cloud. Amen, amen.
Amen.
So we don't have to be conformed to this world.
Praise God.
I understand. I get it that 1 John 5:19 says the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. But that's, and he's talking to us because we're not part of that world. Because you remember, we're not conformed to this world. Our minds are being renewed day by day on the Word of God.
So we
don't love the things of the world. That's not where our heart is at. Our hearts is on the kingdom of Christ.
Hallelujah.
We are of his kingdom. And you do know there's two kingdoms. Remember over there in John 18:36, I think we hit on that a little bit last week. Well, if we didn't, we'll hit on it today. How about that one, huh? Remember, because you got to see that there's two kingdoms. What, you didn't know this? What?
Amen.
What, you didn't know it's two kingdoms and you had to be part of one or the other? There's no 50-50, 60-40, 80-20. You either part of Christ's kingdom, you part of the devil's kingdom. I mean, it's just, you're part of one of these kingdoms. There is no middle ground for you. I'm sorry. It don't work here. You're going to either be part of one, and that doesn't mean that you're a full-blown Christian. No, you're in training like all of us. We're babes in Christ. We're growing. But we know who our mama and daddy is. We know what side of the fence we own. We're going to confess that. So over in John 18:36. Is that what I said?
Yes.
Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Amen.
Yes. From the Messenger Bible, John 18:36. "My kingdom," said Jesus, "doesn't consist of what you see around you. If it did, my followers would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But I'm not that kind of king, not the world's kind of king." Amen, amen.
Amen.
So there's two kingdoms. Who all see two kingdoms, huh? You see two kingdoms? You said, not my kingdom. There's another kingdom. It's not mine now. Because if my kingdom were of this world, this is what my father would do. He would send angels and would fight. So I would not be delivered to the Jews. If my kingdom, my government, the way I do things, if it was of this world, some Jews couldn't put their hands on me.
Amen.
But he said, if you were of this world, the world would love its own. So don't expect folks to love on you. Some of us get in our head that. Don't expect it. Stop expecting it. Let me take a moment to say that. Stop expecting. The people are blind. And I don't care how many degrees they have. I don't care what church they pastor. I don't care how long they've been out here. That doesn't matter. They blind. You can be blind at 50, 60, 70. So because they've been, I've been in the gospel for 50 years. You've just been blind for 50 years. That's all. That's all I can tell you. Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. You know what the Bible says? And this were Adam's great grandson. Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. Guess what else it say about Methuselah? It said Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. And guess what else it says? Methuselah lived to be 969 years.
See, that's how a lot of people's lives are going to read the obituary. That's all they did. They just live. 969 years. Well, you think something ought to have been said about it. I mean, it ought to have been some kind of accomplishment. It ought to have been something he did, good, bad, or ugly. Mm-hmm. I mean, something. He just said he lived 969.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters.
He did survive. Right.
You know, we are to come to this way of thinking that this is mm-hmm. not our life. So stop trying to appease people that's other. They blind. They don't see. They living. They hear. I got to give it to you. They hear. And stop trying to understand people that are blind. I'd be nice if you can, but unless you've been there, done that. God delivered you. Your eyesight was corrected, baby. You know what mm-hmm. it is to be blind. You know what it is to walk in darkness. But you know the Bible says that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. They love that stuff. They love playing church. They love lying. Mm-hmm. They love Satan being their daddy. They love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's all about... That's what they're about. The Bible, I didn't say this stuff now. That's over there in John 3. Yeah, I didn't say this. It said that they love darkness. So you try to get somebody from their lover. Can I just talk to y'all for a moment? It's a terrible thing to talk to somebody about their lover. Woo! You ain't talking about my woman. You ain't talking about my man like that. You're not the head. I know you. You can dog them out if you want to fight. Oh, you finna get a fight now. You start talking about somebody's man. You start talking about somebody's woman. Mm. Because the Bible says that men love darkness rather than light. So I couldn't have the fact that they love that. And I know mm-hmm. you love stuff. It's a whole different, what you want to call it? Whole different, you know, because they love it. You mm-hmm. love your children, they better not say nothing about them.
Yeah.
That ain't my boy.
Mm-hmm.
Your brother, when you love somebody, better not talk about your lover. I don't care if they're nappy. Don't you talk about it. I don't care if they're not wearing modern day stuff. They're not wearing the LV, the Gucci, whatever they call it. It doesn't matter. That's their lover, and that's all they care about them. That's why folks fell in love with gays. They love that. I don't love no gay. Mm-hmm. I ain't with that. Because I don't love that lifestyle. But people love mm-hmm. that. Rather mm-hmm. than.
Rather than.
Love it for God's sake. They love that. So they make laws in America to protect mm-hmm. them, because that's what they love. That's their lover. That's their lover. Two men land up. Don't you say nothing about him.
Have mercy. Have mercy, Lord.
What the Bible said, lover? So what got into your mind when you think about love, darkness? What you think about? I mean, hey, y'all, this is an open broadcast here. You can just tell me what you think about when he said love darkness. What you think he's talking about? Darkness.
I think not judging, but just pray for him.
You can judge. 1 Corinthians 2:16. You can judge, but that's just okay. Just tell me what you think when he said love darkness. What comes to mind, people?
Pray for them and hope they find the word and get into Christ.
Yeah. Somebody love darkness. What come to mind, Pastor?
They love the things of the world more than they do the word of God.
Yes.
Amen. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Remember, God chose you out of the world. So you don't have to love that. That's how you know it's somebody really loving God, because if God had chosen you out of the world, you don't have a love for that. You hate that stuff. Now, I know I'm going to get some people going to text me, and it's okay, but I can show you in the Word of God, it's okay for me to hate that garbage. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. Let me go. Find John 15 for me. This is John 15. So when people don't agree with what the Word of God says, it's called agreeing with what the devil say. It simply means they are blind. They haven't had their visions corrected yet.
Amen.
Things are still gloomy. See, I don't have no problem telling y'all the truth. See, I don't have a problem with that, because I see clear, man. But I've had visions that was not that needed to be corrected. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ophthalmologist. I think that's what they call them, an ophthalmologist. I gotta get Evangelist Sharon, you know, she keep me straight on this, these big words and stuff. But anyway, but it's the ophthalmologist. Yeah, they can correct a whole lot of stuff. Well, that's what the Word of God will do. Just like that, a lot of stuff can be corrected, brothers and sisters. Especially before you get back, especially when you're a young Christian, especially when you just really get into the Word of God, get corrected. A lot of that garbage, just get rid of it. Bad confession, get rid of it. You are what the Word of God say you are now. I don't care what Satan talking about, you can't do this. You can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthened you. You get that stuff corrected. You get your vision corrected.
Amen.
I'm trying to find that scripture, but I know it's there. I think it's in John 15, around the 19, 20th verse.
Okay. John 15, verse 19. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore, the world hateth you. That what you wanted, Pastor?
That's what I wanted.
Amen. From the Messenger Bible, John 15:19. If you lived in the world's term, the world would love you as one of his own. But since I picked you to live on God's terms and no longer on the world's term, the world is going to hate you. Amen, amen.
Amen. Didn't I tell you? I told you folks to hate you. The world hates you.
Amen.
Now, if you were of the world, they wouldn't hate you. But because light have come to you, they hate you. See, the world loves its own, brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they love their own. As long as you're in that mess with them, believe me, they're going to high-five you. They're going to like. They're going to give you like. They're going to all of that stuff. Shake your hand because they're down with you. But tell them about Christ. Tell them something different than they've been. Oh, I got family members right now. Think, I don't know. I just like to think that they think I've lost it. And they go like, how can you be a pastor and not have a church? Well, you don't know that a pastor is a gift. It's something you receive. It don't put you over no church. Who told you that, man? But you don't know that. But see, that's what people have taught people so long, that if you're a pastor, you're over a church. I mean, some people stupid enough to think pastors don't have sex.
Have mercy.
Got all them babies, but you know, they're so holy. How you think they got them babies? Prayed them up.
Hey.
Laid hands on her. But you don't know, they're a man and a woman just like, see, that's what I'm saying, brothers and sisters.
Yes.
The world has a different view of real life, truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But aren't you glad the light shined in darkness and the darkness did not understand it? Darkness don't understand
it. Thank you, Lord.
That's why I like what Isaiah said. And that's where we're at today, brothers and sisters. Isaiah 5:20 is just as real today as it ever been. He talking about woe to those who call good. What is that? Woe to those that call evil good and good evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Somewhere up in there, it talks of. I like to hear that out of the Messenger Bible. That's Isaiah 5:20-21.
Isaiah 5:20-21 from the Messenger Bible. Doom to you who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness in place of light and light in place of darkness, who substitutes bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Doom to you who think you're so smart, who hold such a high opinion of yourself. Amen, amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah,
Pastor. Oh, okay, Pastor. I'm sorry. Is that verse again?
Isaiah 5:20-21.
Okay. Read from the King James. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Amen.
America is in trouble. We need to pray for America.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
And then we need to pray for some of these folks that can't tell the difference between... They blind. They blind.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. Yeah. They blind. Mm-hmm. They just blind.
Yeah.
When you want to call good evil and evil good, you're blind. They sightless. That's a good word. They sightless. Unable.
Yeah.
Unwilling to discern, they see. They have no regard for reality because they can't see it. They got lack of direction. They got lack of control. They got lack of consciousness. They can't see this stuff. Somebody ought to be praising God right now that God doesn't know. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
That you don't have to go to church. You can be the church. And the church is all by. You ought to be thankful to God that you have direction. But I'm going to leave it right there. And on tomorrow, hopefully, we'll deal with that. Because all week, I want to deal with this word, what that means. What, you don't know that we can have eternal glory now and not after the choir, but right now. But what, you don't know what church you're supposed to be a member of? Well, I'm a member of Mount Zion. I'm a member of First Baptist. I'm a member. No, the Bible don't tell you to be a member. It tells you to be a member of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Now, you don't want to mess with me today because I do have a paper for you. I got it written. It's written. It is written. In Ephesians 5:29-30, we are members of the Christ body, the church. That's what you need to be a member of. So don't be coming to me with, well, you got to be a member of this. No, I don't have to be a member of none of that garbage. See, I ain't blind. And I may be hidden from you, it ain't hidden from me. It ain't covered me. It ain't covered me.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He opened it up, and I thank God for it. Yes, I am bragging. Somebody might be saying, yeah, Pastor, you're doing a little bit too much. Yes, I am. I am. I want the word of God to shine through me because I want people to know who you are and what the word say you are. That's what you're going to claim. Okay.
Amen.
Comment. Anything anybody like to share? I really thank God for go ahead. Go ahead. Somebody was saying something? Well, I just want to thank God for Evangelist William. She didn't even hesitate when I asked her if she'll read out of the Messenger Bible. I thank God for you, sister. I thank God for you, Pastor.
Yeah,
I know you're with your family, but you took a moment to get online with us. Might even be a different time zone, but I thank God for that. And
God bless you. Amen.
God for Evangelist Sharon. She said she presses her way daily. She have to deal
praise
with some pressing her way. So y'all make sure y'all keep her lifted up and bind up anything that would hinder her from doing what she has to do. God got an awesome work for her, and we're part of that. So she needs to know we're part of that. We're praying for her strength, that God let her just explode. Just a matter of time.
Amen.
But anybody have anything they want to share? Anything jumped out to you? Hallelujah. Well, we got lots to cover, brother and sister, this week. So I'm looking forward to it, especially part dealing with Lucifer. Trust me. Got a lot of scripture to cover because it gonna deal with all of us. Where we are, what we have failed in, our past, what we face with each and every day, because Satan is always trying to entrap us. And he does that with his words, with our words. So the person who knows Christ, and I may have to say this again, the person who knows Christ, you're sufficient in him. Okay? If you stay in that word, your eyes will become open. Because, see, as long as Satan can keep your eyes lusting for the things of this world, he got you. So that means he's going to keep you up into the pride of life. But when you say, you know what, none of that's a meaning thing. And we're going to get to that place. I know we are. That's what we're striving for. But it's going to be exciting. Anybody else? Hallelujah. If not, we will see you all on tomorrow for the